Like Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Teich. As we prepare for the 4th of July holiday, I bet you've got a lot of items still on your grocery list for the picnic or the family cookout you might be having. One thing you want to have on hand on a hot summer day is a cooler full of beverages, from water to beer to soda or pop, perhaps.
What do you call it out east?
I call everything Coke.
Well, I prefer soda, but soda is a beverage that's been around since the 1800s and is probably something we take for granted today. But when was the last time you actually thought about how your soda was made?
Turns out Austin Ashley has put a lot of thought into it. Ashley has had a lifelong obsession with beverages, and he knew that he could make a better drink out of his kitchen compared to what he typically found at a gas station or when he was at the movies.
So in the early 2000s, Ashley started brewing soda out of his kitchen, starting with small batch ginger beers, and demand from his friends and family soon turned a hobby into a business. In 2012, Ashley and his wife launched Wisco Pop in Viroqua, Wisconsin. He stopped by the Lake Effect studio on a recent trip to Milwaukee to share his knowledge and love of soda. Austin Ashley, welcome to Lake Effect.
Well, thanks for having me.
So I feel like most consumers, we take soda for granted. You know, it's something that's always been there on the shelves in the superstore, at the theaters. You know, you pour it and you don't think about it and you enjoy it. But what made you look at soda and say, I can do this better?
Yeah, I think you made a great point and distinction that that is what I set out to do, was create something I could make in my own kitchen. I'd worked in culinary and was just more interested in creating my own beverages. And so take stuff to a potluck and people are like, wow, this is really good. And it's like, you know, using the word soda has been kind of even difficult in our business.
Right. Wisco Pop yet soda. So what's your preference?
Well, yeah. Right. My preference, and I'm from Texas, so they call it Coke.
Okay.
So that's pretty funny. But
yeah,
just more like the dynamic of soda being kind of like a not so good for you product. Whereas in everything that we do, we're actually juicing, or, you know, if we're making a strawberry soda, then it's a pound of strawberries per gallon. So we brew the strawberry versus, you know, some kind of artificial strawberry flavor. That's what makes it great.
You mentioned the word brewing a soda, which
yeah,
I wouldn't think of automatically when it comes to making soda. So just to break it down for us, what is the actual process of making your product?
Yeah, so we come in on Monday, we fire up our kettles and fill them with water. So if we're making the strawberry soda, we'll fill that with over 475 pounds of strawberries. And, you know, just let it brew for probably about 2 to 3 hours and extract all the essence and juice out of that. Then we pull it from there and transfer it through a heat exchanger, which cools it down to about a temperature of 65, and then into a bright tank, which is like a conditioning tank they use in the beer world. And then that will cool it down to about 32 to 34 degrees, which is optimal carbonation temperature. The liquid needs to be really cold for the CO2 to actually adhere to the beverage, or else, I don't know, you've probably had a soda before where you taste it and it's like, this tastes like gas or you know, too much carbonation. So,
right.
So the slow process that we focus on, putting the bubbles in slowly, allows it to have a more flavorful experience.
So do you think, or are you aware of the process, say, a Coke manufacturer uses?
Yeah.
Are they doing this differently?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, we're kind of this grassrootsy thing, taking the whole ingredients versus Coca-Cola is just like the syrup that's getting injected. I mean, we run like, I think, 36 bottles a minute or something like that. And, you know, Coca-Cola is like, that's just a machine. That thing kicks out probably 1,000 a minute or something like that. I don't know. I've watched some of these rotary fillers and they're pretty impressive.
Right.
But it's also, it's impressive, but it's also disconnected from what I think is food.
Well, getting on that idea of food being in your beverage, you know, you have flavors like the strawberry you mentioned, cherry, ginger, and it's a big difference where you can tell this isn't syrup. So with the importance of food, why did this grip you in that way to highlight food versus I'm highlighting my beverage product?
Yeah, the food aspect, I just recently went and visited the chef I started with in 1999, and he just really pushed me into the direction of using whole ingredients, and he would talk about the local sustainable movement, or local agrarian movement is what he called it. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. At the time, I was like 19. And we grew our own produce there. I don't know. There's just something that kind of makes sense to me as a human, that that's the process that we want. You know, we should treat others great, and we should also treat the earth great. So that's kind of where the process comes from.
Well, most people wouldn't think that a local food movement is a big factor into making soda. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like, you know, where do you get your strawberries? What are your parameters in what you consider? How are we supporting those around us?
Right. Right. The big thing for us is the local part of it is really hard to stress in Wisconsin with fruits, right? So we don't work with necessarily – we do work with Snowpack, which is a producer in Minnesota, which – anyway, we buy our strawberries from them. But as far as it comes with juice and stuff like that for lemons and limes, they do come from California. We started with juicing every single lime and lemon by hand. Then we bought a juicer. Then we bought another juicer that was bigger, can go faster. And now we actually just buy juice in that is produced at these manufacturing plants. So that's kind of been a big leap in our business, but it was something that I gradually grew us to. Also with knowing, like you're saying, where it's coming from, knowing how it's processed is really important to us. And I think also to our end consumer.
Well, on the note of consumers, do you think there is a greater awareness and a greater want of having more products in your home and your fridge that are local? Because, you know, water, mm-hmm. we can get it from Lake Michigan. We can also buy bottled mm-hmm. water. I feel like consuming local is not as prevalent for non-alcoholic beverages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so. I think the thing that's really important in the local foods thing is these vegetable farmers that aren't getting paid and that kind of stuff. You know, I don't think that that really goes into the sector that we're in. I think it's important that we're creating something that is good for the earth and good for your body versus the other, you know. I think that's the best way I could put it.
With craft beer exploding into such a large scene, do you think you're better able to compete in a non-alcoholic market? Because you did have a background in brewing beer as well.
Right. Well, the thing with the non-alcoholic thing is like, man, that you think craft beer is big. I mean, the beverage world. I mean, how many coffee cold brews are there out there? I mean, I'm sure you're more than aware. It's ubiquitous. So the category of beverage, places are dedicating like 24 feet to beverage. So it's getting really competitive, and it's not competitive with somebody who's small like me, under $1 million in sales. It's with these big 50 million to way larger.
Yeah. And what do you think your advantages are running Wisco Pop in this big world?
I think what the advantage is, I get to have a good life, and I get to employ people to have a good life as well. And that's kind of something I stay focused on. You know, I think that part of sustainability isn't always taken into. You know, we look at the environment and stuff, but what about the environment that we give to other people?
Soda, to me, was always something that I could have sporadically.
Right.
Like, okay, it's a family
you had good
party.
Parents.
Yeah. Family party, yes, you can have one soda. You know,
right.
So it was it's always something that I've not had very often. And
right.
And now in this point in my life, it's usually okay, I'll have like a whiskey and a ginger ale or something, but it's not something to sit and savor with. Are you trying to make it such that this can be that experience for people?
Yeah, I think it should be. I hope this calls to what you're asking, but I think it should be a more of a sensual experience, like dessert. You know, it's like, I have eaten more than one pint of ice cream in a week. But the thing is like, it's just not my life. Like, I don't even like trying to sell to people. I'm not trying to capture that soda consumer that's addicted and trying to drink soda every day. I'm trying to give a better opportunity for people to have something that they can enjoy and savor versus just having a whoop-de-doo experience with 95 cents or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And also on the health note, you mentioned this is pure products, and you also do sodas and sparkles. And you also took the step to make your products organic.
Right.
A lot of companies might be hesitant to do so because there are more production costs and things that can factor in down the road. But
yeah.
What was the importance of doing that for your company?
Well, yeah, and it kind of comes back to we were working, actually initially Wisco Pop started out doing a local honey sweetened soda. But as I kind of kept digging through it, I found that they were actually feeding the bees corn syrup. And I thought, well, that's exactly what we're trying to get away from. We're trying to get away from GMO, corn syrup. We're trying to get away from, I don't have a better way to put it, but that's just what we're trying to get away from. We just kind of took a step back and said, well, look at this. Like, you know, 65% of our product is already organic just because we do it, and we don't add that value in front of the customer and say, you know, it's USDA organic. We just offer it out. So now, like, let's look at this and say, well, what's a part of our value? And that's kind of what we did, was we decided to restructure it and say, let's become USDA organic because we trust that. And I have this, like, internal sense of that if I'm 85% there, 80 to 85% there, if I go to a good church and it's 80 to 85% there, I'm doing pretty good. You know, nothing is 100%, you know. I think that the system's kind of rigged that way. So then we're never satisfied. But so if I can always get into 80%, and I feel like being USDA organic puts us to that 80%, and I'm very happy with it.
Do you have any favorite soda memories growing up?
I do. I remember looking over at my mom, and we go to the butcher shop every week and go pick up the meat. I got a dad's root beer, and I remember tasting it and just thinking, like, I'd like to do that. And that's kind of a funny thing that has come up over the years where it's like, huh, maybe I had this innate capacity to be like, oh, yeah, that would be fun. And it has been fun.
And it's always kind of harkened back to you no matter which direction you've gone in.
Yeah. And it's always been beverage specific. My granny, that's a really good story, is that my granny, they grew produce in their yard. Okra, tomatoes, corn, so forth. And I grew up in South Texas, and they had mangoes and papayas and fig trees, all kinds of stuff. And one day I came to her house, and she's, hey, darling, I've got this limeade I made for you. And she had pressed all these little poquito limes, little small limes, and it was so delicious. And I drank that whole half gallon by myself. But, you know, just that, you know, always kind of having a sense for beverage and really enjoying it. It's just, I think everybody enjoys beverages, right?
I think we need to perhaps harken back to starting to savor our beverages more.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right. And especially for, we're in Wisconsin, which is the beer capital of everything. But to have that option open to people,
right,
that you can still have a great drink and be with people and socialize without consuming alcohol.
Oh, sure, yeah. Or we can add alcohol to it.
Exactly. But has that ever been a factor with making quality non-alcoholic beverages? Like, was there anyone in your life who decided to give up drinking? Or was it just a factor that you wanted to make available to more people?
Well, I actually don't drink. So that's been part of my process, is that that's kind of part of how it had come about, was that I was going to places to hang out with people, and you know, I didn't have anything to drink, but I show up with something that everybody can drink, kids, mom-in-law, dad, all that stuff. So it's always been kind of important to me to, like, show up with something. And now that I have a business, I just always show up with. It's kind of the lazy way to show up to a potluck. You'd be like, yeah, I already got
the beverages covered.
You guys like strawberry or grapefruit?
Yeah.
You're more of a sparkle kind of person.
Got you covered. Well, on that note, why don't we make some of your favorite kind of cocktails with Wisco Pop?
Yeah, you bet.
All right. What drink are we setting up here?
Yeah, so we're going to do like a kind of a little spicy Paloma grapefruit, which our newest product is grapefruit soda, which is Texas Ruby Red grapefruit juice, limes, and sugar. So I'm going to chop up a little jalapeno. And then a little bit of cilantro in there for you. And we'll do 1.5 ounces of some tequila. And then we're doing about 5 ounces of grapefruit soda. Little, you know, whatever you think you can take on the jalapeno side. You know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's just enough to where you're...
Yeah, being a Midwestern, I can handle some heat, but not a lot.
Right. A little bit of cilantro in there. And then put it over ice for you. Oh, yeah. Just don't eat the jalapeno, I guess. Okay. Should
Excellent.
Do. You want to give it a shot? I don't know.
Yeah.
See if it's high octane.
Cheers.
My business partner told me this is the one he uses.
It's really good. And the grapefruit is coming up after, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's good subtle.
Here, give this a shot on its own and see what the difference is. Just kind of depth of acidity and a little bit.
And that is good. And I have to say, I don't enjoy grapefruit just on its own. So
Yeah.
But in here, it's really pleasant. It's not, you know, digging into a grapefruit with a spoon. And
right. And I think one thing to note is that they're Texas Rio Reds, which is a different variety. They're less bitter. They just have more complexity to them. They're kind of sweeter. I really like them.
Yeah. And a little nod to your hometown, I'm sure.
Yeah, pretty much. It's probably about an hour and a half from where I'm from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm pretty close. I was pretty close to the border growing up.
It's very tasty.
Thank you.
What other kind of summer drinks do you enjoy, personally?
Without anything in it, I love drinking lemon sparkle, which I think I brought you some samples to try. Or lemon or lime sparkle, which is just, it's just lime, it's just lemon, it's just water with really great carbonation in it.
Austin Ashley is the CEO of Wisco Pop. You can find more information about the company, where to find the soda in your area, and recipes for summer cocktails at WUWM.com.